The following reading is taken from Apples of Gold by Thomas Brooks, 1660. Question. But here an apt question may be moved, namely, whether at this great day, the day of judgment, the sins of the saints shall be brought into the judgment of discussion and discovery or not, whether the Lord will in this day publicly manifest, proclaim, and make mention of the sins of his people or not. I humbly judge, according to my present light, that he will not, and my reasons for it are these, namely, number one, the first is drawn from Christ's judicial proceedings in the last day, set down largely and clearly in the 25th of Matthew, where he enumerates only the good works that had been done, but takes no notice of the spots and blots, of the stains and blemishes, of the infirmities and enormities, of the weaknesses and wickednesses of its people. Deuteronomy 32, verses 4 and 6. Number 2, my second reason is taken from Christ's vehement protestations, that they shall not come into judgment. John 5, verse 24, truly I say unto you, he who hears my word and believes on him who sent me has everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Those words, shall not come into condemnation, are not rightly translated. The original is, shall not come into judgment, not into damnation. Further, it is very observable that no evangelist uses this double asseveration but John, and he never uses it but in manners of the greatest weight and importance. Truly, truly. And to show the earnestness of his spirit, and to stir us up to better attention, and to put the thing asserted out of all question and beyond all contradiction, as when we would put a thing forever out of all question, we do it by a double asseveration. Truly, truly it is so, and so on. Thirdly, because his not bringing their sins into judgment does most and best agree with many precious expressions that we find scattered as so many shining, sparkling pearls up and down in the Scriptures, as first, with those of God's blotting out the sins of his people. I am he who blots out your transgressions for mine own sake, and I will not remember your sins. I blot it out as a thick cloud over your transgressions, and as a cloud your sins, Isaiah 43, verse 25, Isaiah 44, verse 22. Who is this that blots out transgressions? He who has the keys of heaven and hell at his belt. Who opens and no man shuts, who shuts and no man opens. He who has the power of life and death, of condemning and absolving, of killing and making alive. He it is who blots out transgressions. If an under officer should blot out an indictment that perhaps might do a man no good, a man might for all that be at last cast by the judge, but when the judge or king shall blot out the indictment with their own hand, then the indictment cannot return. Now this is every believer's case and happiness. Secondly, to those glorious expressions of God's not remembering of their sins anymore, Isaiah 43, verse 25. And I will not remember your sins, will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. To the apostle, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Hebrews 8, verse 12. And again, the same apostle says, this is a covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Hebrews 10, verse 17. The meaning is, their iniquities shall quite be forgiven. I will never mention them more, I will never take notice of them more, they shall never hear more of them from me. Though God has an iron memory to remember the sins of the wicked, yet he has no memory to remember the sins of the righteous. Thirdly, Is not bringing their sins into judgment does most and best agree with those blessed expressions of his casting their sins into the depth of the sea and of his casting them behind his back. He will turn again, he will have compassion upon us, he will subdue our iniquities, and he will cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. Micah 7 verse 19. Where sin is once pardoned, the remission stands never to be repealed. Pardoned sin shall never come in account against a pardoned man before God any more, for so much does this borrowed speech import. If a thing were cast into a river, it might be brought up again, or if it were cast upon the sea, it might be discerned and taken up again, but when it is cast into the depths, the bottom of the sea, it can never be buoyed up again. By the metaphor in the text, the Lord would have us to know that the sins pardoned shall rise no more. They shall never be seen more. They shall never come on the account more. He will so drown their sins that they shall never come up before him a second time. And so much that other scripture imports, "Behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but you have in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption. For you have cast all my sins behind your back," Isaiah 38 verse 17. These last words are a borrowed speech taken from the manner of men who are accustomed to cast behind their backs such things as they have no mind to see, regard, or remember. A gracious soul has always his sins before his face. I acknowledge my transgressions and my sins is ever before me, and therefore no wonder if the Lord cast them behind his back. The father soon forgets and casts behind his back those faults that the child remembers and is always in his eyes. So does the father of spirits. Fourthly, his not bringing their sins into judgment does best agree with that sweet and choice expression of God's pardoning the sins of his people. "And I will cleanse them from all their iniquity whereby they have sinned against me, and I will pardon all their iniquities whereby they have sinned, whereby they have transgressed against me." Jeremiah 33 verse 8. So in Micah, "Who is a God like unto you who pardons iniquity and passes by the transgressions of the remnant of his heritage, as though he would not see it, but wink at it? He doesn't retain his anger forever because he delights in mercy." Micah 7 verse 18. The Hebrew word which is here rendered pardons signifies it taken away. When God pardons sin, he takes it clean away that it should be sought for, yet it could not be found, as a prophet speaks. "In those days, at that time, declares the Lord, search will be made for Israel's guilt, but there will be none, and for the sins of Judah, but none will be found. I will forgive the remnant I spare." Jeremiah 50 verse 20 in those words, "and passes by," and the aforecited 7th of Micah and the 18th, according to the Hebrew, is "and passes over." God passes over the transgression of his heritage, that is, he takes no notice of it. As a man in a deep muse, or as one that has haste of business, doesn't see things before him. His mind being busied about other matters, he neglects all to mind his business. As David, when he saw in Mephibosheth the feature of his friend Jonathan, took no notice of his lameness or any other defect or deformity, so God, beholding in his people the glorious image of his Son, winks at all their faults and deformities, which made Martin Luther to say, "Do with me what you will, since you have pardoned my sin." And what is it to pardon sin but to not mention sin? Isaiah 40 verses 1 and 2.